blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 204, stanzas 1 and 3. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. Burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 1 and 3 of Psalter 204.
From Scripture, we wish to read Romans chapter 2. But first, we hope to read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 2. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are given again the great privilege of gathering together as a congregation round about thy holy word that is withheld from others, even in our own denomination this day, where a flood has brought disaster, and where there is no opportunity to gather in thy house of prayer. O Lord, thou hast spared lives, but thou knowest all that is lost. O that thou may remember them in that place where they are, and all those in the midst of this world who have losses. O those callings are coming unto them, and those callings are coming unto us. But where will they bring us? And they will only add to the weight of our great judgment upon that day that we have to appear before thee, except that thou wilt bless those judgments, and that thou wilt come within the hearts of men to work thy work with thy spirit. For callings have no effect except that the power of thy spirit does bring thy word into our hearts. O, we beseech thee, and that thou may remember us and all those also that are afflicted this day. Help thy servant in thy place, when he may bring thy word in a different way, and bless the means that are used also for their help in the time to come, those that have lost everything. But wilt thou look upon all that have not thy word? Thou knowest over the length and the breadth of this whole world, where thy word is prevented in nations where Satan does seem to have the preeminence, and he does not have the preeminence. And because he is called the prince of this world by thee, but thou art the ruler of the whole universe, and thou sayest that he is on a chain, O Lord, that it may be experienced also, especially in those places where he is permitted to give forth a little strength, where there are persecutions, where there are afflictions and trials experienced by those who desire to fear thy name, to walk according to thy word, to read and to hear thy word. Oh, that thou may give them a cry to heaven. And we read in thy word that thou dost give, hear, and answer prayer. Oh, that thou may show thyself also unto them. Remember the nation of Israel. Thou knowest also all the world does come against them. Lord, that thou may stand for the beloved for the Father's sakes. Oh, then we have so much to be thankful for. What thou hast given unto that Jewish people, and that thou hast brought also unto us through them. Oh, that we may also be a means to bring thy word back unto them. For thou knowest their error. Thou knowest their mistake. Oh Lord, thou knowest their sin. Oh, that thou wouldst wash it away. That thou wouldst cleanse them. And that thou wouldst open their eyes. And that they might see thee, the beloved Son of God. Oh, that they might know that thou art his Son. And that thou art the beloved of the Father. And that they might bow before thee. And that thou mayst take many of that people and bring them to thy footstool, even as thou didst the Saul of Tarsus. One moment, Lord, and with thy voice, which is most powerful. And that we need the same thing. We need it, young and old together. Though we are sitting under thy word Sabbath after Sabbath day, oh, we can give nothing in our hard hearts. They are like the benches that we sit upon. We cannot move them. And we cannot give a desire in our heart. And we cannot give love for thee. And we cannot revive anything that thou hast given unto us in years that are gone by. O Lord, if thou wast not the first, then it had never begun. And if thou wilt not uphold and finish it, and then thy people will yet perish. And thou knowest where that they are. And thou knowest what they stand in need of. Oh, that thou may remember them and give what is necessary, because we do not know what is necessary. And thou knowest the word that thou dost give us to bring also in this hour. And Lord, we do not know anything, but thou dost know everything. O Lord, that thou may use and bless it also for the returning, oh, for the breaking down, for the taking away of false foundations, and that thou mayest give, and that all of us together may be brought in that right place before thee. Oh, that we may be given to be placed upon that solid rock that thou hast indeed established, a foundation for thy church upon which the church is built, that Mount Zion which thou wilt securely save thy people within. Oh, Lord, that thou may look upon each and every one of us. There is in our hearts by nature and no desire. No, it is even worse. It is enmity, because there is love for the world and there is enmity against thee. Oh, it needs to be broken. It needs to be taken away. All that is only by thy power possible. And therefore we beseech it of thee when we begin in this afternoon hour. Because when we pray, then we do it in thy name, and then we do it in the name and for the sake of thy dear and only begotten Son, who has taken away all the sin of his church, who has done that before thee, the Father, and who hast suffered, and who has died, and who has paid that awful price, and that we could not pay. Oh, Lord, could it please thee to include us in all those benefits, that we also may be united unto him in that bond of holy matrimony, or that we may be his bride, that he may be our bridegroom, and that we may be united unto him as a branch in that living vine, who says, without me ye can do nothing. Oh, wilt thou look upon all the afflicted ones, remember the widows in a special way, where there is loneliness in the midst of this world, a place that no children, no friends are able to take, that thou may be on the right and on the left continually, oh, that thou they may find a place also before thy footstool, that thou may remember all parents and children. Remember those that are not married, that have no children. Remember those who have crosses known to thee, and where there are difficulties between husbands and wives, and all those who suffer from addictions. Lord, those that are abused. Oh, so much misery that is in the world in which we are living. And thou dost give in the midst of it all, though it is our own fault, the preaching. And thou dost give a way of salvation, that our souls may be delivered from all the meshech of this world, from all that is our own sorrows, and that we may be given that only comfort in life and in death. Oh, that thou may give desire for it in the days in which we live with our dear children, that it may not be only written in the books experienced by our forefathers, but that it might be known, and may it be even in the most simple way, by young and old amongst us, things that thou dost hide from the wise and prudent, and that thou dost reveal unto the babes. And thou knowest that there must be a plowing when there will be a sowing. And Lord, thou knowest how difficult that plowing is, and because of the hardness of our hearts. O Lord, could it please thee then to bless thy word also in this hour, and give us wisdom, and give us strength, and give to know thy will and thy way in all things, and give the leading of thy Holy Spirit. And wilt thou keep us from ourselves, forgiving all that is amiss for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 138, stanzas 1 through 4. And thus speaks the Lord to wicked men. My statutes, why do ye declare? And why take my covenant in your mouth? Since ye for wisdom do not care, for ye my holy words profane, and cast them from you in disdain. 1 through 4 of Psalter 138. Beloved congregation, the Word of God concerns, brings forth, contains promises. But as well as promises, there are written many warnings, many admonitions and threats in the Word of God. The faithfulness of God concerns those warnings the same as it concerns those promises. Thus the Lord says that he is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man and that he should repent. And therefore those promises will be indeed carried out, but also the threats, also the warnings that we receive. Because the Lord Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Noah preached for 120 years, and he could not convince one single man, woman, or child to enter with him and his family into the ark. Not one. In 120 years, their eyes were not opened until the water came. Their eyes were not opened until the rain began and the fountains of the deep were broken up, and until the door was already shut. Until it was already shut by God himself, and it was for them too late. And it was not because they were not warned, but it was because they did not believe it. And why did they not believe it? Because they loved their sin. Because they loved the way that they might live in the midst of the world that they were living. Because when man does not believe something, then on the other side there is something that he does believe. Thus we read that James speaks about scoffers in the last days, and they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Thus they did not believe he was coming. They did not believe the truth. But then they did believe something else. They believed a falsehood. And that falsehood was that everything is going to continue the same way in that it has been from the beginning. How much of this does not lie in our hearts? Those, congregation, are the two sides. The two sides, we would say, in this world of that same coin. And then those false beliefs, those false foundations, give false hope. They give false expectations. Expectations that are certainly going to be disappointed. The same as the expectations of that first world. The Lord Jesus also spoke about such false hopes, false expectations at the end of this world, when he said that many are going to be expecting to enter in, and they will not be able. How is it possible that we can sit so comfortably in that house of God under the warnings which the Lord gives unto us? Because Solomon says, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy his whole life. He came and he went. And then he sat just so easy as so many of you. Every time again until he became an old man. And then he died in that same way that he was born. How is it possible that Eve did not tremble when she did put forth her hand to take of the forbidden fruit? It was because, you say, she didn't believe the Lord. That is right. But on the other side, she did believe something. She did believe the devil. And the devil had said to her that she was not going to die. And thus she rested on this. That she did not tremble. That she did not fear to put forth her hand unto that fruit. Thus it is a false hope. What makes us so easy? Because those warnings are all there. And the callings there coming unto us over and over again. So let us examine ourselves. What is it that makes us sit so easy today? In our bench. What is that thing whereon we trust? That we are not fearful of the warnings of the Lord when we say that I am unconverted especially. And that we do not sweat. That we do not labor under this. What is it that you say that you do not believe? Yes, what is it that we do believe? We read in Psalm 49 that they have a secret thought, men, people, they have a secret thought that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. A secret thought that this day, that tomorrow, is going to be as this day. Who does not have that secret thought? Which one of us does not have that secret thought that tomorrow is going to be just as today? And because we have that secret thought, we are not trembling under the warnings that the Lord is giving to us. And because we have that secret thought, our whole heart is still going after everything that is in this world. Young and old have received callings among us. We hear them from other places. Young and old, children, parents, fathers and mothers, we have received warnings in the years, in the seasons that have gone by. What is it now? What is now the foundation upon which we are trusting? What does the Lord teach a man? The Lord takes away those foundations. That is what Bunyan tried to show in his Pilgrim. He was also living in a world like we do.
And that man could not live so easy anymore. He could not sit so easy anymore. Why not? Because he says, I have to die. I have to die. The devil said, thou shalt not die. Is that not what we believe? Thou shalt not die. And he said, I have to die. Who did that? Oh, it is the Lord who did that. Is that not necessary? That also, that false belief that we are not going to die, that tomorrow is going to be as this day, that whatever that we have that we are resting on, that would be taken away in order that the Lord would set our soul upon that solid rock and give to us a foundation, a true foundation in our life wherewith we may be happy, wherewith we may both live in comfort and that we may die in peace. Warnings, congregation, are not pleasant. It is not easy for me today. It is not easy for you either, parents, I think. When you say, I need to warn my children, because it is always easier to speak other words. It is not easy for you either, teachers, is it? When you say, I need to warn these children in my classroom, it is not so easy for me either today. But congregation, it is the word of God. It is the word of the Lord wherein he warns that we may be delivered from our false expectations that are soon going to be disappointed. Our text for this hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Romans 2, verse 11. Romans 2, verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. So far the words of our text. A solemn warning under privileges. First, the persons addressed. And second, the danger addressed. A solemn warning under privileges. First, the persons addressed. And second, the danger addressed. Last week, congregation, we have heard really the same words, have we not? Of a truth, I perceive that there is no respect of persons with God. That was coming out of the mouth of his servant Peter. And that was going to Cornelius. That was a great wonder for Cornelius, because respect of persons, that was just what stood in his way, wasn't it? Because he was an outsider, because Cornelius was a Gentile, and because it was the Jews, they were the people of the Lord. And he was on the outside of that, and Cornelius could not of himself come with a solution to his own case. God's servant Peter, he could not solve that case of Cornelius either. But the Lord did solve that case. And when the Lord included the Gentiles, that was a lesson we heard for Peter also. When the Lord included the Gentiles, then Cornelius was also included. You understand that, children? That Peter does not have to say the actual name Cornelius. because Cornelius knows that his name is included in the Gentiles. That is, in all those unclean animals. And when the Lord is going to include all those unclean, and he is going to cleanse them, oh, then Cornelius, he is in himself a fit object for the Lord. Then he and Christ, the Lord Jesus, oh, then they fit together like a hand in a glove. But with that same word, the Lord here gives a warning. And who does he warn? Well, he warns those who include themselves. So it is just the opposite now. Cornelius was on the outside of it. And now the Lord Jesus warns those who, as it were, are on the inside of it. And they are whom the Lord does not include. But they are whom who include themselves. Thus, what is a comfort to one is a warning to the other. The same word. The Lord himself is so, because we read that the Lord is a consuming fire. And on the other hand, the Lord is also a great comfort unto his own people. Thus, who is here warned? It is congregation, the Jewish people. They are the children of Abraham. They are the children of the circumcision. So where are we? We are in Rome. We are in the church in Rome. We are in the synagogues, as it were, of Rome. And those synagogues are built among all that Romish people. There are many Jews in those places, and there are many proselytes. And then their synagogues are built right among that heathen people. So it was very convenient. Paul and the other apostles, they can come into those synagogues, and there they can reach all different kinds of people. Of course, the Jewish people are a very privileged people. The Jewish people are the people of God. They are the people that have been given his word, that have been taught all their life, that have been instructed by the Lord, that people among whom says the Lord says, I am going to work among you. These are the children of Abraham. Then there are also other people. Well, they do not come from the Jews. They come from the Greeks. Paul mentions also the barbarians. So any other people beside the Jews, they are outside of that synagogue, and sometimes those people, they are also entering into that synagogue, and there the apostle may preach unto them. And then we have the function of the Jews. Well, what would be the task of that Jewish people? You say, well, they're the ones that have knowledge, so they're the ones that ought to be instructing those who are just coming in. And they need to teach them something about and that law of God. And that was so. Because Paul says, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thus, yes, that is the Jewish people, privileged people, who may instruct those people who do not know. They must teach them, and they must show them what that law means, and they must show how that we must leave the world and every former friend, and that we must walk according to God's law. But Paul is writing here to these Romans, and what does the Apostle Paul here do? Then he gives a warning. To whom does he give the warning? He does not give the warning. Well, he does that also, of course. But here he is giving the warning also to the Jewish people. I think they did not expect that. I think they did not expect that. That the Apostle Paul would speak such a word to them here in this letter. That is like someone coming into here, come into our church. Then we are giving them instruction. And then we say, well, we need to leave sin. We need to walk in a way that is right, that the Lord gives to us, lays out to us in His holy word. And that suddenly the Lord rebukes us. That the Lord comes with His word. And He speaks not to the people who have entered. But He turns and says a word to us. And He gives to us a warning. Warning about what? About our own error. About our own mistake. About our own danger. What is that? That is in our second thought. We read, for there is no respect of persons with God. That is the warning that he is giving here to these Jews in the congregation that is in Rome. Why does he warn them so? Paul is inspired by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit of the Lord knows more than Paul does, because the Holy Spirit of the Lord looks into each and every heart in the midst of the congregation. And then the Lord knows what is living in the heart. And He knows what the mistakes, He knows what the errors are that are living in our hearts. Is that not a wonder? If the Lord would come and He would take away a foundation that was false, that you are leaning on, that you are resting on, the Lord removes that foundation. Because when the Lord would remove such a foundation and you find yourself without a foundation, well, something is going to happen in our life. You know what is going to happen? The Lord Jesus says, seek and you shall find. Then we are going to begin seeking. Oh, then it's not going to have to be said to us again. Then once will be sufficient, because we are going to find that we don't have a foundation and that we have to die. And that we cannot die. The Jews were doing something very, very dangerous. They were doing something very dangerous with their privileges. That is, they were not distinguishing something. The Lord had given to that people promises. The promises of the covenant. They were made to that nation. They are not made to individual persons particularly. That the Lord says each and every one of that nation know. But they are made to Abraham's children in general. The Lord is going to work among them. And now that Jewish people did something with those promises, what do you do with the promises, young people? Because we hear that so much today. About the promises. Oh, we have to take hold of the promises. Be careful. Be careful. Because here we read of that error. Here is a people that, as it were, did take hold of those promises. They took hold of them as an individual. What was promised unto that people as a nation and not necessarily to a specific individual. And the Apostle Paul has distinguished. He says they are not all Israel which are of Israel. He says those promises in their essence do not belong to each and every one. But there are many in the outward Israel who are not of the true Israel. And now this Roman congregation did not make, these Jews did not make that distinction. No, they have taken those promises for themselves. And they have begun to depend upon that outward relationship that they had unto that covenant of God. And they have made that outward relationship into a personal relationship for themselves. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? They are congregation, their thoughts. And thinkest thou, you say, how is that possible? That anyone in that Roman church would think that God was going to deal with him differently than God dealt with anyone else in the world. Is that not a foolish thought? Yes, that is a foolish thought. That is a very foolish thought. It is also a falsehood. But that was their thought. That was their thought. And what was the basis of that thought? That was that God is a respecter of persons. Where do they get that from? From us. From us. Because that is what we are. Or not. Oh, the Lord has warned his people already in the Old Testament that when they come in judgment, they were not allowed to have respect of persons in judgment. And that it doesn't matter whether a person is rich and has influence or whether a person is poor, or that everyone in the judgment has to be treated the same. But they often did it anyway. They did it anyway. Do we do that too? The church, in our homes, fathers and mothers, we make judgments too. Teachers in the school, oh, how careful that we have to be. Those Jews in that Romish church, they held themselves just a little bit higher than their Gentile brethren. A little bit higher. And why did they hold themselves a little higher? Because of their heritage. Because they were a privileged people. But who had given them those privileges? What does Paul say? What dost thou have that thou hast not received? And why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it, as if it was not a gift? But no, secretly, Then those Jewish people grounded themselves on this gift, their heritage that had been given to them of the Lord. And at the same time, they did not think that they had to be held to the same standard, same law of God that they were requiring of all the Gentiles that were around them. Oh, they said other men may not do these things, but they did them. They did them maybe in secret. Why were they not afraid? They were not afraid because they were the children of God. They were the covenant people. Or they stood a little higher. They thought they had a different foundation. So Paul says, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." As it is written already in the Old Testament, when the Lord said that to his own people, he says that you blaspheme my name among the Gentiles by your walk. What you are doing in the midst of the world and what the world is saying of you, and I am your God, your God. Congregation, do we make our boast, as we read here, of God? Just like these Jewish Christians, we boast about our heritage. We are Netherlands Reformed. Now, what secret thoughts? Shall we examine ourselves a moment? What secret thoughts are living in our heart when we go out in the world? We say, but we have the truth. What false foundations are we resting on? You know what the Lord says? You know what Paul says? He says, there is no respect of persons with God. Do we judge the world? Do we say the world is wicked? We are right. Oh, we may very well be right. But do we put ourselves above that? What is the foundation on which we are resting? What is the hope? What is the expectation wherewith we are traveling through this world? What gives us to sit so easy under the preaching, under the warnings? Or what are we resting on? If we are resting on our heritage, our foundation is of sand. It is of sand. Do you believe that? That is what the Lord warns us today when he says there is no respect of persons with God. Let us sing 384, 1, 4, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, My ways are known to thee. 1, 4, and 5 of 384. Of persons with God. The Apostle Paul said that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that is what the Word says, and I am not a sinner, namely that I do not see sinner as my name, then it is impossible for true faith to take hold, to believe in that word, that is in a personal way, because it says that it is for sinners. And as long as I do not see myself as such, then I must be excluded. How could Paul, that was Saul of Tarsus' children, how could he become a sinner? How could he become a sinner before God? What had to happen? It was necessary that the Lord would strip away from Saul all the false foundations upon which he was standing. That is the only way. Paul says of himself, of the straitest sect of the Pharisees he had lived. That is what he said of himself. That was the foundation upon which Saul of Tarsus was standing. He was standing upon his religion, we would say. And then the Lord came. And then the Lord came. And then the Lord says, it is all sin. He did not say only, it does not merit, it is not enough, it is not sufficient. He said it is sin. It was a liability to Saul of Tarsus. He says it is persecution. That is what you are doing. It is persecution against me. Thus, all the righteousnesses of Saul of Tarsus then indeed became filthy rags. Paul, that religious man, in his own eyes, he began to see himself as God saw him. As God saw him. Did you ever begin to see yourself as God sees you? That is what we need. That is what is necessary. For there is no respect of persons with God. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Thus God's church is not merely circumcised, no, but they are, the Lord says, the keepers of my law. Say, is that merit? No, he does not say that. That is the fruit. That is the fruit. That is how they may be identified. That is how they may be known. By their fruits ye shall know them. And if their fruits do not appear, their circumcision means nothing. No more, it is a liability. It is a liability. Because Paul says not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? What does he speak about? He speaks about those who do not have our privileges. He speaks about those who have not been brought up in this world the same way that we have been brought up in this world. Sometimes they come even into the church. Maybe from this part of the world or that part of the world. They come from Africa. Or they come from Asia. Now, what do we think of those people? Where do we place ourselves with that people? place ourselves just a little bit higher than the people? How do we do that? That is respect of persons, is it not? Say they are not Dutch. They have never heard of our forefathers. They have never heard the preaching the way that we are used to hearing the preaching. They do not know that way that the Lord is leading His people. You know what the Lord says? It could be that they are more moral than we are. You know, there have been people that have been surprised at us, who have come from the outside and have been surprised to know how that we live every day in the midst of this world. You say, is that what you profess? How is that possible? That people have such a truth. They make such a profession. And these are the things that I see they are able to do in this world. Oh, is the name of the Lord blasphemed among the heathen on our account? How will such persons have never heard that word, Gentile persons, how are they going to be judged by God? Do you know what Paul says? He says there is no respect of persons with God. And they are going to be judged according to the knowledge that they have. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. No, they will not be saved. They will not be saved. Hopefully we may hear more about that next week if the Lord gives it. That is something else. But for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law, that is speaking now about us religious persons, shall be judged by the law. There are degrees, congregation, in hell. There are degrees according to our knowledge. According to our privileges, what the Lord has given unto us, we must answer for. The Lord says that the lowest place in hell is reserved for those who have been given the greatest privileges in this world. That is the warning. There is no respect of persons with God. Thus our privileges increase our accountability. They do not release us from accountability. They do not release us. That is what was happening in that church of Rome. Is that happening here too? Those privileges release us from our responsibility to that law? No, Paul says they make us, our accountability, greater. So young people, when you will go along with a boy or a girl in this world, the same sin, and you do exactly the same as the boys, the girls that are in this world. Do you know that your judgment will be heavier than theirs?
will be heavier than theirs. And why will it be heavier? Because you know better. That is why. That is why. And that is why you must say to them, no, no, we may not do it. No, no, this is the way that it says in God's word that we have to walk in this world. For there is no respect of persons with God, and shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, that is the world, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Thus he makes a distinction now within the outward manifestation of that true church. What does Paul do? He takes away a foundation. Takes away a false foundation in that congregation of Rome. And he warns the people against presumption. Presumption based on our outward privileges. Next week, the Lord willing, we hope to have baptism. All that is what he is speaking about. He speaks about circumcision, but he speaks about the privileges that we are given within the church. Paul takes them away. That was not a pleasant thing for him to do. It wasn't pleasant. But congregation, there were people in that congregation who believed something that was false. They believed something that was false. Do we believe the same? What is false? And it was giving people expectations that were certainly going to be disappointed. And that is also with us. And therefore, though those warnings are not easy to give or to receive, the Lord commands us to do these things. Oh, when the Lord broke down that middle wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles. You know what the Lord said then to the Jews? Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves, Jews, to see whether ye be in the faith. Prove, he said, your own selves. So congregation, did your foundation ever become sand? Did it ever get washed away? That is not easy. But there is no other way. There is no other way for our soul to be placed upon that solid rock that God gives to us in his holy word, except first that fallow ground is plowed up. That first everything that makes us easy is taken away. And that we are given with Bunyan's Pilgrim, that we are not able to sleep in the night. How is it going to be when we are on that last day and we are there in lying in that graveyard, lying there in that graveyard in Fort McLeod,
everyone else around us, the whole world around us, and all together, when the trumpet is blown, we're going to rise from the dead. There we're going to stand with the generations from years ago. There we're going to stand indeed with the whole world. What is it going to mean that we're baptized? That we have a baptized forehead. What is that going to mean before that great judge that we have made confession? Confession of faith in the Netherlands Reformed Congregation. What is it going to mean? It's going to mean that we are going to be held accountable. Accountable. Because there is no respect of persons with God. We're going to be held accountable for all the privileges that we have received from Him. Are they going to be accountable for them? No. They're going to be judged according to their knowledge. And we are going to be judged according to our knowledge. O congregation, if we are not saved in that day, our religion and all our privileges, they're going to be for us a weight. They're going to be for us a weight that is going to sink us to the lowest hell. For there is no respect of persons with God. Did you ever learn that? That is now what the Lord teaches His people. David was a king in this world. Sat on the throne. Crown and a royal robes. Why? The Lord chose him there. Placed him there. Then you know what we read? Then he brought that ark up to Jerusalem. You know what David did? Took those royal robes off, laid them aside. And he went down with those servants, the men's servants, the maid servants, and he dressed in the same clothing as they. Could see no difference than between the king in this world and all the servants of the world. Michael did not like that. Michael did not approve of that. She said, my father would have never done that. Would have remained the king. Would have kept his status. You know what David said? Michael, it was before the Lord. It was before the Lord, Michael. Before the Lord, there is no rich, there is no poor, there is no king, there is no subject. Before the Lord, Michael, we're all the same. And I'm willing to be more vile than thus, and to be base in my own sight. See what the Lord is instructing His people in? All there is, those foundations that we are building on, that is all taken away. Well, when that foundation is taken away, all then there is room. Then there is room for another foundation. Congregation Paul, he speaks about that last day. He says that the judge is coming, and he is going to come, and he is going to judge the secrets. the secrets of men. Not just what we see on the outside, but everything that is on the inside. And he is going to do that without respect of any persons. And then it is going to become evident what the apostle here says. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision, he says, is that of the heart, of the spirit, and not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, bless thy holy word. Take away from us what we build on that is false, false hopes, false expectations, that we be not disappointed in that great day of days. Thy word is solemn. O Lord, forgive our many sins. And wilt thou show to us what our state is by nature? Take away our sloth. Take away our deadness. Make us seekers, and that we might also become finders. Or that we might ask, that it might be given unto us, and that we would never cease to knock until that door is opened unto us. Bring us safely to our places, forgiving all that is amiss, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 57 is our closing Psalter, 1, 2, and 3. The earth and the fullness with which it is stored, the world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. For he on the seas its foundations has laid, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed, and firm on the waters its pillars has stayed. 1, 2, and 3 of 57.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.